Pro Savings Days are back at Lowe's. My Lowe's Pro Rewards members save even more with limited-time doorbuster deals. Save $5 on 24-count Contractor's Choice 42-gallon trash bags, now just $14.78. Plus, get your choice select DeWalt Elite Series saw blades for $9.98. Not a Pro Rewards member? Join for free today at Lowe's. Valid through 9/17. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
This is Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios located at Crawfish Cafe in the Heights. Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Crawfish Cafe in the Heights. Fantastic. Wings are very, very good here. I've been looking at other people's plates. The boils are very good.
Just shopping?
Yeah. Mapes has the shrimp tacos on the way. I'm going to get a little boudin. I'm a sucker for boudin. Victoria, what'd you eat? How are the oysters, Victoria? The oysters are fabulous here at Crawfish Cafe. Fantastic spot for lunch, dinner. Fantastic spot to watch some Monday Night Football. Carbox going to be out here serving up a bucket of six beers for $10. Long necks for $2. Mapes is in for Joe, if you haven't already figured that out. Sunshine at Twitch telling me to close my mouth and chew. I got to eat fast. Closing your mouth means that you can only eat 50% speed, and I got
to
hurry.
Was that to you? Because I was eating on camera during your live read.
Yeah, he said Jeremy.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, must have a little bit on the little bit of shrapnel. That's okay. I don't mind a little shrapnel. College football over the weekend, lots of great game. Cougars 3-0 start. Go Cougs! You know, start there, of course.
Yeah.
The greatness that are the Houston Big 12 opening win. Todd the Show was upset. He's a big Colorado guy. Bye week this week, then to Oregon State, and then the next Big 12 game, Texas Tech at home. So
that
could be looming like a big one. Tech has Utah this week. That's an underrated big game.
No, that is one of the best games this weekend, and it will get overlooked because it's not huge helmet matchup. But that as far as A, quality play, B, conference implications, that's going to be a good one. And if the Cougs can take care of business during during the bye week and against Oregon State, who doesn't look like they're that competitive, but I don't think, no offense to the Cougs, I don't think that Willie Fritz's program is quite on the level to where you can just auto win against Oregon State. But I think this does set up to be a very big matchup that will be in Houston, right? A couple weeks from now against Tech?
Yeah. It has a chance to be a big one.
And that's really, to me, why the game on Friday was so big for U of H, was that it kind of leaves the possibilities open for what this season could be. You know, we talked about where, like, yeah, bowl game would be nice before the season. And then you can talk yourself into a couple breaks going your way, and you go 7-8 wins. I mean, now, again, dare to dream. You could dream some pretty dangerous stuff right now if you're a U of H fan.
Yeah, they're trending in the right direction. A lot of fun. And you're right. I mean, it's hard to win in college football. You can't overlook anybody, that's for sure. But fun yeah. beginning for Houston. We'll see where it goes the rest of the way. You went to Texas, right?
Yes, I did.
Okay, I wasn't sure. I thought I was 98% sure, but there's a lot of Texas fans who, of course, didn't go to Texas.
Oh, yeah, no.
They went to, like, Texas Roadhouse U and, like, hey, go hook them. Do you hate watch the Aggies when you watch them?
Not really. I, like, root against them for the most part.
You don't like that they saw varsity's horns off?
I don't enjoy that. No.
It was funny to me, and I know this has been going on for ages, but they get a massive – it was the first ranked win over a top 25 team, like in their last three coaches or whatever. Like, it's like been a really long time.
Yeah.
And the first thing they go is go in front of the student section and, you know, yell, let's saw varsity's horns off as they sing their song. It's just kind of funny to me. But a big win for them. I mean, let's call it like it is. That was a big win going into Notre Dame, coming away with the victory. Now – look, credit to A&M, no doubt about that. But if you're Notre Dame and you're that holder, ooh.
Okay.
Ooh.
If I'm that holder, you just got to eat that. If I'm his family, what the hell, NBC? Like NBC, NBC was showing the holder more times than they were showing, like, the players on the field. I don't know who got more time on camera that Holder or Marcel Reed over the last 3 minutes of that game.
He cost him the game.
Yes, and it didn't help that he's wearing some stupid highlighter yellow penny and hat for some reason.
Yeah, what is that all about?
Are they worried he's going to run out there?
Quickly identify the specialist, maybe?
I guess.
I don't know. It's weird. You don't see many people do that.
Yeah, but I think, obviously, it was like such a massive part of the game. And
it reminded me of Tony Romo in the playoff game against the Seahawks, where they had the chip shot field goal to win the game, and he just botched the snap.
Yeah, I mean, it was even a little bit different because that game just, boom, Cowboys lose. This one, you're still up six. Like, you can still make a stop. That's not against the rules. They had them on fourth down. I think it was fourth and goal from, like, the 10 or 12. Like, they had a good chance to win that game beyond the botched hold. Like, the botched hold really cost them a 50% chance of winning in overtime.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're right. You're 100% right. You just wish you had, if you're an Irish fan, you wish you had that 50%.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Might be
obviously,
why Joe's off
obviously.
Today.
Yeah.
Because he's a big Notre Dame guy.
Bereavement. Yeah.
Yeah. You good with Notre Dame being ranked despite being 0-2?
Yes. I think that it's, people are being a little silly by saying that they shouldn't be ranked. They went on the road in week one and lost by 3 to the number 4 team in the nation. And then the team that's now ranked number 10 in the nation, they lost by 1.
What if those teams aren't good, though? We're just going off arbitrary rankings because they tell us they're that good.
Isn't that what all these are?
Yes.
Like, everyone's ranked arbitrarily.
Yeah, but you're not forming
LSU,
your opinion.
LSU is ranked arbitrarily. They should be lower.
Yeah, but you're
they're hanging their hat on a Clemson win.
You're giving equality a victory based on somebody else's opinion.
Isn't that all what we're doing?
Where a fraction of that opinion is some voter who boosted Florida after losing to USF. And didn't have USF in the poll. I don't know.
I did check. She fixed her ballot, by the way.
She did?
Yeah. I think national
does she still
shame.
Have USF top 10 now, even after they lost to Miami?
Yeah, they actually went up a little.
I just don't like polls. I hate the poll.
No, I think if you're being real, like they're very close to having two, I guess they wouldn't be top 10 wins
right.
If you win those games.
No, I think they're one of the best 25 teams in the country, too.
I mean, really what it is people are like, they're winless. How can you rank them? I'm like, well, if they didn't have a bye week two, and they played Central Michigan and beat them by 50, like, now you're cool with them being 20th?
Yeah.
Like, I think, if we're being real, like, in my head, I'm like, they're probably the 15th best team in the country.
Are you old enough to remember the Sagarin ratings? Like, this was, like, the first, like, computer ranking. USA Today used to publish them. Like, it was the
Was it, like, part of the BCS at one point?
I think it was.
Like, part of the computer
It was part of the
polls.
Computer analytics. Yeah. Sagarin ranking, like, first ever, like, computer ranking that was, like, widely known.
Mm-hmm.
They used to be in USA Today's. They still might be. I don't know. I don't get the USA Today. But they have the Sagarin ratings has Notre Dame as the 5th best team in the country. So, like, that's probably too high, but it gives you a little bit of credence that they're one of the top 25 teams in the country.
Yeah, they looked good against two good teams. Like, I don't – that is actually more than a lot of teams that are ahead of them in the rankings can say because most teams have only played complete walkovers.
Yeah. A big-time win by Georgia at Tennessee. That was a
– game of the day.
That was a track meet the first half.
Game of the day and then A&M Notre Dame. Game of the night.
Game of the night.
But, yeah, that was completely – the opposite of what I thought that game was going to be. I thought if you told me that it went to overtime, Georgia wins on a touchdown late, I'd be like, okay, so what, like 27-24? Is that what we're talking about? No. What was it, 40-something? 44-40? Something like that. It's really the first time that Josh Heupel's offense has ever done anything close to that to Kirby Smart, and it really sucks that they somehow still lose that game.
Yeah, it was. I don't think either team should be dinged if they would have lost that game because it was obviously very competitive. Now Georgia goes on the road; you have to boost them, obviously. The missed field goal at the end of regulation talked about a lot. The reaction of the Tennessee kicker. I think what's being lost in that whole little sequence. Did you see Joey Aguilar celebrating as soon as the ball was kicked? Like he ran onto the field thinking it was good. Like
I
question your awareness a little bit.
But ultimate team guy. He's ready. He believes in this kicker so much. He didn't even think about. Wait, what if he misses? Should I wait? No. He had the utmost belief in Max Gilbert, and I think that today's probably a rough day for the Tennessee kicker. I think that should lift him up a little bit. His quarterback believes in him.
Yeah. That's a good way to spin it.
That's the only spin. No, you're
the
right.
Lack of awareness. It was off the foot. What's he celebrating for? Like he's
never
running, celebrating. His teammates are like, oh, in agony. Like,
yes. No, world? Everyone else behind him had no problem seeing that it was off.
Unbelievable. How about some of these other top-ranked teams? Miami, LSU, are we buying into them? Brian Kelly losing his mind on reporters, which he apologized today. Are we buying Carson Beck? And two coaches already fired in college football. 713-780-3776. Mapes in for Joe. It's Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5, broadcasting live at Crawfish Cafe in the Heights.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Crawfish Cafe in the Heights. Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Oh, Mapes in for Joe. Joe couldn't make it in today. He's too sad about his losing Irish. 713-780-3776. Crawfish Cafe in the Heights. Mapes got a little shrimp tacos, a little pickled onion on top of it. Oh, great. I got a little boudin link I'm about to get into. The wings here are fantastic.
Let's get out on time for this one so I can,
so you can eat
these tacos.
Want some low-key shade there.
So producer shade. Mindset.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. You leave it up to the talent, man. The car box will be out here in a little bit, too. They're going to sell you some buckets of six beers for just $10. Great value, tremendous value. Long necks, $2. Get on out here. Crawfish Cafe in the Heights. And get some good beer, some great eats, watch some football. Carbike's going to give away some merch a little bit later, too. So if you're in the area, swing on by Crawfish Cafe in the Heights right on Shepherd. Texter taking me to task. Brahman, be quiet. Learn the real stats. This is not A&M's first top 25 win. Get real, dude. This was A&M's first top 10 road win in a couple years. Big dang difference. All right. Let's get a couple things straight. I didn't say it was their first ranked win. I said it was their first ranked road win in a long time. You said it's their first top 10 road win in a couple of years. The last time that A&M went on the road and beat a top 25 team, any top 25
team. A ranked
team,
win.
Ranked the last
road
time
win.
That the Aggies had a road top 25 win, which is what I said, this was the first time it's happened since 2014. They had lost 13 straight road ranked games. So don't twist the words. Don't twist the words.
Just a couple of years.
And then you're also gaslighting me, by the way,
a couple,
saying that it's only been in a couple of years. How many is a couple?
One, two.
How many is a couple?
11. You know.
What's a couple? A couple is two. Two. So you're telling me that I'm wrong by saying that the Aggies have not had a road top 25 win in more than a couple of years. Your words. The last time they beat a top 25 team was beating number 3 Auburn in 2014. There you go.
I was a freshman in
college.
But
he said learn the real stats. He told me to learn. He called me Brahman. B-R-A-H-M-A-N. Brahman.
Kenny Hill was.
Like the Brahman Bull.
Yeah. Kenny Hill was in that game.
Was he the quarterback in that one? Kenny Trill?
2014. I don't know if he was still the quarterback, actually, at that point.
Did he go to TCU after A&M?
Yes.
Okay, I get lose track of the order sometimes.
Yes. His coming out party was week one of 2014.
Israel says Texas A&M has a quarterback. Flex emoji, flex emoji,
they
flex
do.
Emoji.
They
Let's go Aggies. Clap emoji, clap emoji, clap emoji. I do like Marcel Reed.
He was good. Even if he is, I mean, because he was, I don't know if it was like technically efficient quarterbacking, but it like yards per attempt wasn't, I think it was like 10 yards per attempt. But it was 20 yards per completion because they're just bombing it every time with those receivers. And, yeah, I think if you give them receivers, they're going to be able to separate. He's going to be able to hit them.
Yeah, he's pretty good. Meanwhile, the Texas quarterback, because Lamont's UT Arch Manning does not look very good. They struggled against UTEP. Another texture, does Arch Manning's throwing motion look different to you? It looks different from last year to me. The only way you're changing the same motion you've thrown since you were a kid is an injury. Injuries change throwing motions. What's been your thoughts on Arch?
It's a tough watch, guys. I was so glad that Georgia and Tennessee were playing an instant classic because less people were would have been paying attention to this Texas game. That's why they only dropped down one spot in the AP poll, Jeremy's beloved AP poll. They only dropped down one spot. Because if you watch that game, it was bad. Like, they can't move the ball through the air right now. And, yeah, it looks like they're either gaslighting you or gaslighting all of us that it's not an injury, or it's, like, some severe mental issues, like severe yips kind of stuff.
I hope for his sake he's hurt.
That's what our group chat has been saying, the Texas group chat. It's just, God, somehow the best answer to any of these questions is he's actually hurt. Our starting back quarterback is hurt. That's good.
Because if he's not hurt, he looks like a, and I'm being nice here, a bottom half SEC quarterback.
Yeah. No, he looks like he is.
He looks that way regardless. But, like, the injury, he would have an excuse.
Yes. They weren't able to really, like, move the ball consistently. He had a stretch where he had 10 straight incomplete passes.
That's unacceptable.
They're able to move the ball because in the second half they're like, you know what, screw it, we're running this guy. And I'm like, yeah, get ready to learn Colin Klein. Like, you're a running quarterback until proven otherwise.
How bad does it have to get for him to
get benched?
Yeah.
I think it probably an ugly game this week against Sam. Because the thing is, that's why he didn't get benched against UTSA, is that they're up 14-3 with him playing like that.
Right.
It's when you get to, like, Oklahoma. If he's bad against Oklahoma, then it's like, pull the plug on
this guy. Florida hasn't looked great either, but at Florida doesn't seem like a layup right now for Texas.
No.
At Florida, go into the swamp with poor quarterback play? That's a losable game.
I will say they had poor quarterback play week one against Ohio State.
Yeah,
and Ohio State's much better, and they lost by 7. So there is a safety net of the defense of, like, they will keep you in this game, and at the very least it's just going to be unwatchable 13-10 ball games until Arch, like you said, either gets healthy or gets over whatever is ailing him.
Because
the party line right now, and they had a media availability earlier today, is that it's like, nope, just gotta play my own game. Gotta, like, you know, it's all mental stuff is what they're leaning into, which in a weird way is worse.
Starting to think it's the Texas staff. They had multiple first-round picks but struggled to score the last 3 years. They couldn't get the max out of Ewers either.
That's a fair criticism for 23 and 24. I'm telling you guys, the quarterback's the problem.
The rest of their team looks loaded.
The quarterback is playing right now, like, you could have Kyle Shanahan, you could have Sean McVay, you could have the ghost of whoever you want, Air Coryell.
Yeah.
You could have the greatest offensive mind of all time, and they would probably be like, all right, we're running the triple option with this guy because he can't throw.
Most of my attention was on Georgia-Tennessee. Of that stretch of incomplete passes, how many were easy passes?
Probably like 6 out of 10.
Yikes.
Were like completable. There's like one batted at the line. There's a couple deep throws that were like relatively open, but they were like 40 yards down the field. And there's some just like, you got it. There's one where it ended in an interception and a guy was just wide open. It was a rollout to the left. He had the guy open for the first down, didn't throw it, circled back and threw an interception in the middle of the field.
Insert Tex Morton for Arch. They would be undefeated. Can my Red Raiders get some love?
That is just one more game, but yes.
It's a fancy way of saying they would have beaten Ohio State.
Yeah, they would have scored another touchdown against Ohio State.
Tech looks good, though. Like,
Tech right
really
now.
Good.
Tech, I mean, we'll see against Utah. This is really their first big test of the season, but they've checked all the boxes that you want to check when you're not playing good competition, which is beating the pants off of them, which is what they've done so far this season.
That's an 11 a.m. kick. That's 10 a.m. Mountain time.
10 a.m.
That's
Mountain.
A weird kick. I don't know if that's good for Texas Tech.
Well,
I mean, it's short travel. It's not far.
And it would be worse for Utah.
Do you think so? Like, the team that's at home, though?
Yeah. That it's 10 o'clock their time. It's 11 o'clock Tech time. Tech's played 11 o'clock kickoffs. I'm not sure how many 10 o'clock kickoffs Utah's had. Also,
that's right, a weird kickoff.
Rice-Eccles Stadium gets super loud. I don't know about the ferocity of it at 10 in the morning.
Yeah, they're going to have to recover after a night of drinking a bunch of milk. That's a good point.
You know what? That, again, tips the balance back in their favor Mormons being up at 10, at 10 in the morning.
No, you're right. The earlier the kickoff time, the better for the road team. You're right about that.
When I was in school, like, we would have to set several alarms to make the 11 o'clock kickoff. Like, it was sometimes a stretch to get it to 11.
You should be embarrassed by yourself. Or he was overrated, Arch. Yeah, that's
the thing is
true.
The thing is, he looks way worse than he did last year against bad competition.
Mm-hmm.
And he's playing bad. The last two games, he's played bad competition. He just looks worse.
Connor,
he looks worse than he was last year.
Texter, Connor Wigman is fun to watch. He played well. Played really well. Offense had its best game against Colorado. Ryan, who's producing instead of Brian. Look at the job that Ryan's doing today. Brian never does this kind of stuff. He texted us the big names the last time that A&M went on the road and beat a top 25 team, which was just a couple years ago, over a decade ago. 2014, Kyle Allen. Quarterback
okay.
that game.
Go okay.
Cougs. 277 yards, 4 touchdowns. He's still in the league. He's with – where is he at? I saw him play – oh, he's with Detroit. I think he's Detroit's backup, actually. Trey Williams, who, if I remember correctly, went to Decaney. I think Trey Williams is the Decaney kid. 10 carries, 64 yards. So those were the Aggies the last time they got a top 25 win, just a couple of years ago, back in 2014. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe broadcasting live at Crawfish Cafe. Great food. Carbach going to be out here later. Great drinks. They have a bunch of TVs in here. Perfect spot to watch your Monday night football. Let's get into these coaches that got fired in college football. Why would you do this after 3 weeks? And also, Brian Kelly got a little snappy. Got a little snappy with the media after the Tigers win down in Baton Rouge over the weekend. 713-780-3776. It is Jeremy and Joe, Sean filling in for Joe, broadcasting live Crawfish Cafe on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. First a moment on HR&P, Human Resources and Payroll. It's Cougar owned by Mike Holley, Go Cougs. He used to protect a Heisman Trophy winner. Now he's protecting business. He's been in the protection business his whole life, was built for it. Business owners, let HR&P help you. They can help you in HR compliance, benefits administration, payroll, onboarding. They can help in any of those facets. They can help with all of those areas. There's no boxes with HR&P. Doesn't matter how small the job, how big the job, HR&P completely customizes a plan for whatever you and your business need. You have a problem, you have an issue, you want to take a little bit off your plate, HR&P is going to find a way to help. They do it in a way that is unique. Technology meets service. They have the best technology in the game. It is top-notch. You'll love it, but you're also going to love their customer service. Their customer service is best in the business. Guaranteed fulfillment. You'll never talk to a stranger. Everybody will know about you, know about your business, and you're going to love that as the business owner because you're never going to talk to a stranger. So give them a call at 281-880-6525. Let HR&P customize a plan for you, 281-880-6525, or visit them online, hrp.net. That's hrp.net.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Crawfish Cafe in the Heights, it's Jeremy and Joe.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
No Joe today. Mapes in for Joe. We're at Crawfish Cafe where the food is delicious. Carbach going to be out here later with some of their beers. $10 bucket of six. Long necks, $2. They're going to hand out some Carbach merch here as well. So your spot to watch Monday Night Football. You're going to eat good. You're going to drink good. You're going to go home with some goodies as well. And hopefully you see the Texans win a game. I'm sure that you want that. Who doesn't? Who doesn't? No, Buccaneer fans, I guess. Corey, do y'all think Tech is legit or have they just not played anybody? Both. I think they are legit. They also haven't played. I mean, their best competitor was Oregon State, who they beat by 31.
Yeah. I think part of the reason I think they're good is that they are just burying bad teams, which is what really, really good teams do. They should be the favorite right now to win the Big 12, and that's really what the goal was heading into the season. That's what you can control the most if you are Tech is win your conference, make the playoff, and I think I've seen nothing that makes me shake from that. And really, that's what makes the Utah game so interesting this weekend, is that it's your first chance to see him against like competition.
Brian Kelly was a little bit snippy with some of the questioning he got. First question he got was about the offense in a game they won against an SEC opponent. So I understand where he's coming from. Like, you win a tough game. You had to fight hard to win it. You're very excited to win it. And then Brian Kelly, after the game, here was a little bit of the audio, the little bit of the press conference.
Brian in the back, I know you love these immediate post-game sessions, but what are you seeing with your offense?
Stop. Really? Is that the first question? We won the game 20-10. Try another question. What do you want me to tell you? I just laid it out for you. We played the game to win the game. We played the game to win the game.
All right. How about third down then? What is going on with third down?
One game. Last game, we were great on third down. You're looking at this from the wrong perspective. LSU won the football game. Won the game. I don't know what you want from me. What do you want? You want us to win 70-0 against Florida to keep you happy?
No, I think people want to know why you can't run the ball.
We can run the ball. Did you see the last play of the game? That's all you need. You just need one. There's some ridiculous questions. And I'm getting tired of it. That football team just worked their tail off to get an SEC win, and you want to know what's wrong. You know what? You're spoiled. You're spoiled. This team is 17-1 at night. 17-1. Give them some respect. How about that? Give them some respect instead of micro-analyzing every little thing. This is ridiculous for a group of seasoned reporters. That kind of question is so out of line.
I love the season reporters at the end. A little backhanded
and
compliment.
Credit to the reporter. He was like, okay, how about you can't run the ball?
Brian, he did apologize today. He said that he texted this reporter who works at one of the TV stations, I guess in Baton Rouge, maybe New Orleans, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But a TV station in Louisiana. He said he texted him, apologized at his press conference today, saying I was out of line. I need to handle questions better. But I also understand where he's coming from. Like, you just win an SEC game. Like, those are all hard. Those are all tough. And then you're immediately being attacked about, why does your offense stink? Like, that's not the first thing he wants to hear.
Yeah. Question one is tough. But I think there were fair questions. I mean, towards the end, it started becoming still fair questions, but worded more combatively by the Baton Rouge press corps. But I mean, it's a fair question. The other team's quarterback threw 5 interceptions. He scored 20 points.
Yeah.
I think it's fair to be like, you're operating on some short fields. Maybe we could get 27.
So what about third downs then? You're bad in third downs.
Yeah. He had it all right there.
Yeah, he was ready to go, which was pretty cool. Vanderbilt looking good. They have a big one this week. I'm blanking on who they play. It's another SEC team, obviously, because SEC play. I think it's a ranked SEC team, and I want to say Vanderbilt might be favored in this one. But Vanderbilt's playing
LSU.
Pretty good. LSU.
No, they're playing Georgia State. Not yet in the SEC.
Oh, okay. I'm thinking down the road then. Somebody, I think it was the – I saw a future line of Vanderbilt, Alabama, actually.
Okay.
I saw a future line on it. But Vanderbilt ranked. They're playing good. Last year, not a fluke. They still got that quarterback there who's doing his thing. Two coaches got fired after week three, which I'm not a fan of firing coaches in week three. To me, it doesn't make any sense other than be like, oh, I'm going to show him. I'm going to show everybody that we mean business here. Because the moment you do it, everybody that's good is going to redshirt, enter the portal. I saw a couple of guys already doing that.
Yes.
I do not understand at all with a week three firing in college football, but Brent Pry got it at Virginia Tech, and Deshaun Foster got it at UCLA.
Yeah, I think both firings I understand. Like, I get why you're like, get this guy out of here. UCLA, 0-3, completely uncompetitive against Power 5 opponents, and then capped it off. I think this was a Friday night game. It was a Friday night game where they lose to New Mexico.
Yeah.
You got to get fired doing that.
I don't know. Like, what's the point?
I think you have to get fired.
Sure.
I don't think you have to get fired in week three for doing that. Because you look ahead at UCLA's schedule, there's some more opportunities to fire him after embarrassing losses. There'll be plenty of losses this year for UCLA. And I think it really boils down to what you said, where after week three, guys can still redshirt.
Yeah.
It's not, you know – it's not morally correct. I would fire him after the guys can't redshirt anymore. That's just to keep the team together for the rest of the season. Now you are kind of holding these guys hostage, but it's like we still have a team to field for the next 9 weeks or 9 games.
Yeah,
so
I'm not a fan of it.
I think both firings are they're both ugly, bad losses to teams they have no business losing to. But I mean, Nico could redshirt and transfer again.
He could. He probably will, too.
How fast can he learn Sarkisian's playbook? No.
he can learn it really quick.
Yeah, I mean.
Learn as quickly as possible.
Hey, again, we'll see. We'll see. You got a bye week coming up. We'll see what they look like. Yeah. But, yeah, I think when would be the right time? When is the earliest possible for Brandon
November?
To sign off?
November?
November 1st.
Like, get a little bit of a head start? Because, like, what is the purpose? Like, what are you gaining? You're gaining nothing. You're gaining nothing by doing it right now. It makes, like, you're first to market. So what? You're not gaining an advantage over openings that come up in November. Because anybody you want to hire already has a job right now anyways. Like, to me, it makes no sense whatsoever. I think it's more of a flex to the boosters and be like, okay,
that's what
you guys did it. Like, I agree with you. Like, we're making a move because we're not going to stand for this. But that does nothing but stroke their own egos.
Yes. It's a little bit of, like, hey, let's give the angry mob, you know, someone to rip their head off, and it's this coach that we're going to fire no matter what. We'll just do it now.
Yeah.
I think part of it is Virginia Tech, they lose 45-26 to Old Dominion. This is, like, not the first time that Old Dominion has beaten Virginia Tech, which has to be very embarrassing for them. And ODU was up 31-0 against Georgia Tech Virginia Tech at one point. There's a good chance that this team just quit on their coach.
Yeah. They're trying to salvage something.
Yeah, and it's hey, can we get these guys to stop quitting, actively quitting? We're losing. We're going down 31-0 against ODU.
You're embarrassing the program with their level of intensity. I can understand that a bit.
I still say wait until week 5 and guys can't redshirt and transfer. In the most cynical move, college football move, it is just like, no, we're keeping these guys.
We got you. You're stuck.
You're the ones that got this guy fired, all right?
Yeah, that would be funny. Do you know the moment that I knew that Deshaun Foster was not going to be there long?
Do you remember his introductory press conference? Oh, no, it wasn't a third down decision?
This was Deshaun Foster, his introductory press conference at UCLA.
I'm sure you guys don't know too much about UCLA, but our football program, but we're in L.A. Mm. It's us and USC.
Yep. Oh, 2 for 2.
I'm just basically excited, really. That's it. Any questions?
Could you imagine being the guy that hires that guy, and then that's his introductory press conference?
I forgot about how long and uncomfortable those silences were.
People don't know about UCLA football. We're in LA.
I mean, facts only for the first 2 points.
It's literally in the name. UCLA.
That's what the LA stands for.
Could you imagine, though? Like, Chip Kelly leaves you because your NIL is terrible. He tells you it's not a good job. He goes on to be an offensive coordinator for another college program. And then you hire Deshaun Foster, and then he immediately is like, you know, deer in the headlights at his introductory press conference.
It's crazy.
They had to know right then. They had to have known right then.
Like, maybe he didn't know he wasn't prepped that he had, like, some whatever mic time that wasn't going to be just Q&A. At the same time, like, you got to have something of, like, hey, I'm Deshaun Foster, you know, as an alum, blah, blah, blah. We're going to be an attacking, aggressive team that really is looking to win on the line. Like, just things that every coach says at every introductory press conference. Like, he didn't have that in his back pocket. No, I mean, it's really bad stuff for UCLA football. Like you said, Chip Kelly leaving you pretty, not late in the offseason, but, you know, post most of the coach carousel, so you have to elevate an assistant. He also leaves a head coaching job to be the offensive coordinator of a team in your conference.
Oh, that's right. In your conference.
Theoretical peers.
Cohorts.
And he wins the national championship for him, by the way. And you're taking on Nico Iamaleava. Nico Iamaleva. Wow.
I'm impressed you know how to say it.
I used to be able to say it better when he was good. Now that he stinks, I've lost it.
It's his own performance, so it's really his fault.
Yeah, I just haven't needed to say it out loud that much. But you take him on, you're like, hey, listen, it's a five star talent. We're not getting much of these guys in UCLA, and it's like the biggest disaster you can imagine to start the season. Meanwhile, the quarterback that you had, Joey Aguilar, transfers to Nico's old school and put up 40 points against the Georgia Bulldogs.
I know. It's crazy.
It's a tough beat. Tough beat for any UCLA fan.
There's been a lot of bad transfers. He's probably the most notable. He's in the conversation.
He's definitely in the conversation.
Who was the ukulele was another one?
Oh, DJ?
Yeah.
But he...
Because he was really good. What was it, Oregon State? And then he was awful at Florida State.
Yes, but at least that makes sense.
Yeah,
of
true.
Like, he got beat out at Clemson. Then he goes to – he takes a step down to Oregon State. Then he has a chance to step back up.
Yeah.
Nico, it's 100% self-inflicted wounds of he went asking for more money for his coach. His coach said, you know what? We're good, actually. You know, we're – no thanks. And he basically is the first guy at his level to get his bluff called like that.
Insane.
An SEC starting quarterback who made the playoff.
Good for them. Good for them. Was his Deshaun Foster's or Adam Gase's press conference worse, Chris and Humble? I don't really remember anything about the Gase press conference other than his eyes.
The eyes were...
So I don't know if he actually sounded bad. I just remember the eyes, but I don't know.
I'll go Foster because I just heard the Foster one.
No one knows about UCLA football. We're in L.A.
Like, he's an alum. He went to school there.
That was my favorite part.
Can he drop, like, some sort of...
We're in L.A.
Founded by John C., whatever.
USC and us. That was so good. 5795, love the show, guys. Big night in Houston. You guys want to talk some Strohs. That's a great idea, 5795. Big night in Houston. You got a little Monday Night Football. You also have some Strohs, Rangers. Let's get to the good, bad, and the ugly from the Astros weekend in Atlanta. 713-780-3776. Mabes in for Joe. It's Jeremy and Joe broadcasting live at Crawfish Cafe on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Houston, the Walmart you thought you knew is now new. Who knew? Did you know that Walmart has been in business forever? You already know that. But do you know that they have a half a billion items online? Yeah. They have a huge selection online that you can't find in stores at Walmart.com. We've been ordering online from Walmart for quite some time now. Branham family loves it. The wife and the kids were out of town over the weekend. Order from Walmart.com. Get everything that I needed without even having to leave the house. It was great. Wonderful for someone like me that have a ton of time. I don't like to mess with the crowd. I don't want to turn off the game. We order online with Walmart. And we get everything we need without even having to leave the house. It's fantastic. I know what you're thinking, that it's too expensive, that it costs more online grocery shopping. That's not the case. That's not true at Walmart. Grocery prices are the same for delivery as they are in store. And, of course, because it's Walmart, you already know that those prices are low. What I love about it, they're fast. Walmart can deliver in as fast as an hour. They're going to save you time. Use Express Delivery to get all of the eligible things you need from Walmart, from the groceries, home goods even prescriptions. Walmart is changing the game. So when it comes to feeding your family, hosting a tailgate, or throwing a party, think Walmart for all of those grocery needs. Start an order right now at Walmart.com.
ESPN 97.5. Back to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Crawfish Cafe in the Heights.
Great food. I had a little boudin. Boudin's fantastic. Sean's having the shrimp tacos. He likes it a lot. He gave me a bite of his shrimp. His shrimp was good. I like your shrimp. All the food here at Crawfish Cafe is good. Mapes in for Joe. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5. Carbach out here. A $10 bucket of six beers. Long neck's just $2. Giving away some merch as well. So if you're looking for a spot, watch some Texans in a little over an hour. This is your spot to do it. Damian Pierce is expected to be a healthy inactive tonight for the Houston Texans.
Not great for Damian.
Here are the scratches. Christian Kirk, Braxton Berrios, they've already been ruled out. We knew that. Yep. Graham Mertz is inactive. Okay. I still think he can be your emergency third.
Yeah, I think he's just the third quarterback.
Jake Andrews hurt, and then Tommy Tagaia, who pretty dang good, that guy. But Damian Pierce, the final one of the inactive players. I thought it was bad. I thought there was two signs for Damian Pierce that did not paint a great picture for Damian Pierce. One, he didn't play well. I guess three. One, he didn't play well in the opener. Didn't have a ton of carries, but didn't play well in those carries. Two, DeMeco during the week said that they wanted to get Chubb the ball more.
Yep.
Okay, well, if he's getting the ball more, what does that mean for the rest of the running backs?
Yep.
It means they're getting it less. And then third, he did not field the kickoffs very good. He did not field the kickoffs very good in the opening week loss to the Rams. And then I was listening to Frank Ross last night as I put the dishes away. And he was like, yeah, you got to be a shortstop back there with the way these teams are going to kick ground balls to you. And I'm like, you know what? I wonder if this means Damian Pierce is not going to return kicks. I didn't allow my mind to go to the healthy inactives. But I was like, yeah, I wonder if they make a change at kick return because he can't field those ground balls. Lo and behold, he will not be returning kicks because he is inactive tonight. He might not be long for this team.
I was going to say, he was in a very perilous position either way. I mean, honestly, there's a case to be made that in the alternate universe where Joe Mixon is 100% healthy throughout training camp, Damian Pierce is already not on this team. And you throw in, yeah, I remember on Sunday being like, when Damian Pierce was in, being like, oh yeah, Damian Pierce. Like, I my brain was just so Chubb, Dare, Woody Marks, you know, was the rotation in my head. That when Pierce was out there, I was like, oh, Damian Pierce is still on this team.
Yeah.
And like you said, if he's not going to get as much workload as DeMeco kind of foreshadowed, if he's not going to get workload as a running back there, and then I didn't know about the Frank Ross thing.
Yeah.
That
I mean, first snap of the first kick of the season, he's like running around aimlessly like he's Yordan Alvarez trying to play a tough grounder up the middle. Like, I was like, if the teams are going to be doing this,
yeah.
I'm not sure I trust him on three hoppers.
You saw the Steelers rookie running back,
Caleb Johnson.
Just didn't know the rule and gave up a touchdown.
His press conference, or his not his press conference, but the media scrum after his locker, or after the game at his locker.
Said.
They were like, did you know the rule? He's like, it doesn't matter if I knew the rule or not. I just have to move forward.
Okay,
I was like, okay,
so
he didn't know the rule.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, that's kind of on his coaching staff, too, though. Like, he's a rookie. Like, that's got to be, like, cemented. Like, every time he runs out there, filled it. But with the new kickoffs this year, with the touchbacks coming out, you know, deeper in the field, I'm starting to see more often. Because, like, last year, like, the in vogue thing was running backs. Running backs returning kicks with the new dynamic kickoff rule. But now it's like more emphasis to land in the landing zone. You're seeing more like two hoppers, three hoppers. I'm starting to see more receivers being used there. Like John Metchie was returning kicks for the Eagles yesterday.
Okay, so it's more of
it's elite thing.
It's not a hands team, but it's
no.
Guys on your hands team. You need at least one of them back
hands.
There.
You can't have brick hands. Like, it's like they're going to kick you short hops.
Yeah. Yeah, the kickoff thing, it's interesting. I think the tweaks are kind of working. I mean, we got a kickoff return last week in the Dolphins-Pats game. We got a kick return touchdown.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
No, you're seeing more returns.
Yeah, you're seeing more returns. So it seems like it's working. But, yeah, there is definitely some kinks to be worked out and some, you know, as the teams kind of figure it out.
Yep.
They're having to shift, and it looks like it – might have cost Damian Pierce a spot on the roster.
I wonder who's going to return kicks, though. My guess would be Noel.
Yeah.
Because he's kind of shifty, quick. Obviously, he has decent hands because he's a receiver. Probably, I mean, I say decent. I'm selling him short. Good hands.
Yeah.
My guess would be Noel will be the kick returner. I think he'll return both kick and punts.
I think that's safe. I'm trying to think of
Dare. They're going to put Dare back there because he can do it all.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe they will. Texture says y'all want.
Yeah, save his legs for
kicks.
Two-minute drills at the end of the game.
Yeah. Save his legs. y'all want Caleb Johnson? LOL. No. Like what?
No.
Why? And what? He's asking us. We want him. LOL. Like we suggested. We wanted Caleb Johnson.
No. I said,
what world did you gather that?
I mean, no. Maybe he's a Steelers fan trying to offload.
Oh, maybe. That could be it.
Pierce for Johnson, who says no?
He's been a disappointment, man. Like I think he got one carry in yesterday's game. He's getting out-carried by a lot by Kenneth Gainwell and by Jalen Warren. Like, that's not a great look for a rookie running back who people thought would be the bell cow.
When they signed Aaron Rodgers. That's when the first little red flag of like, ooh, rookie running back with Aaron Rodgers. I'm not sure how much he'll love that. Also, with Rodgers, he's going to be running or playing out of the shotgun more, so running out of the shotgun more at Iowa. Not exactly what they do there. I thought there's going to be a learning curve. It looks pretty steep and pretty bad for Caleb Johnson and Caleb Johnson fantasy owners.
No, it doesn't look very, very good. We'll get to the good, bad, and ugly here in like 5 minutes. So you're not a boxing fan, huh? Did you watch Canelo Crawford even though you don't like boxing?
Did not. I was aware of it. Did not watch it. Those are two guys that I know. I don't know. Was it the end of the A&M game or something? Actually, no.
It was later.
Over.
Yeah, it was well over.
Yeah.
Because I turned it on after that game went final.
Uh-huh.
And they were just about to start the co-main event.
Okay.
Which was Fernando Vargas Jr. And I remember watching Fernando Vargas fight, which I was like, oh, man, I'm getting up there. I'm starting to get a little old. I'm watching Fernando Vargas Jr. fight when I used to watch his dad. And his dad was his corner man. I'm like, oh, boy. No, I love boxing. It's definitely been a sport that's been dormant, quite frankly, mostly dormant. Like, you still have your, you know, Canelo's a big draw. Crawford's a stud, maybe the best fighter of his generation after beating Canelo, but, like, not a very popular guy unless you follow boxing. So,
yeah.
Like, it's been a sport that lacks stars, and I think a lot of it's not really the quality. I think a lot of it's the marketing behind it. You know, maybe pay-per-view isn't the best way to market the sport. I really hope that they can bring it back to being premier like it used to be, because I grew up on boxing. I loved boxing as a kid. I would love for it to be mainstream once more, because like even that, like Canelo Crawford had a huge gate. I mean, obviously everybody's watching it. They're selling out Allegiant Stadium.
Oh, wow.
So for like one night, it felt like boxing was back. I just hope that they can continue it and like find new fighters and market new fighters where this can be sustainable, as opposed to like a once every 10 year type of thing.
Yeah, it feels like right now it's not once every 10 years, but it's once every 2 years or 3 years that you get one of these fights that becomes sort of mainstream that aren't Jake Paul fights. Like
You'll
get a Tyson Fury Usyk fight.
Still not marketable.
Like probably not. I mean, I think Fury is.
This was the biggest fight since McGregor Mayweather. Like, listen to how stupid that sounds. Like,
is
Mayweather.
That true?
Yes. That's what makes me sick about
like,
it. And, like,
by,
the Paul
like,
brothers. And, like, you're about to see Mayweather and Tyson fight. Like, boxing's become more about, like, the star name, cachet name, clout name, than the actual sport. I want, like, the best fighters in the world, the best boxers in the world being marketed like they should, where we see this on a more than once every X amount of years display. Like, it's sad to me.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's tough because you don't really have the, like, long-term storytelling with these guys. Like, you kind of, and for the casuals, which is a lot of people now.
Sure.
You only find out about these guys when they are, like, 40-0. You're like, oh, this guy.
Yeah.
You know, Bud Crawford, it's like, until he fought Spence, that must have been
Earl Spence?
Few years ago now.
Yep.
I hadn't heard the guy. Or if I did hear of him, I probably thought it was two brothers and one named Terrence, one named Bud. I didn't know it was one guy. But to have this guy who's moved up, and now I've learned more about it, moved up two weight classes to fight Canelo Alvarez and beats him. Like, that should be one of the biggest sporting headlines of the weekend.
For sure. Yeah, and he was great in that fight. He was really good. I was worried about Canelo's power and Crawford jumping multiple weight classes. And then you could tell, like, round three, round four, that Crawford's like, yeah, I don't put any faith in his pop. Like, he was sitting there trading punches with him.
Wow.
Like, he got very confident, as he should, because he had fought a great fight. And he just didn't respect Canelo's power like many people thought he was gonna, which, I mean, it speaks to his greatness. Promoters killed boxing. They want to protect their guy, not make the best matches. You're right.
Yeah.
Israel says Crawford. Yeah, but a good fight. All right, let's get to the good, the bad, and the ugly from the Astros weekend. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, Mapes filling in for Joe, broadcasting live Crawfish Cafe on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN.
97.5.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.